All right. We're glad to see everybody. We have some who are out not feeling well, but we're glad to see everybody. And we're missing a few. But anyway, and of course, those who might be watching online. It is on. They're both on.
Okay.
All right. Check it out. Yeah, I got to work out these technical details. But anyway, those who might be watching online, we hope that you'll learn from this lesson, and it should be a very basic lesson, but it's one that we have to deal with from time to time. The title of the lesson is Details, 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 and the question is, where would we be without details? Well, honestly, chaos is the answer to that question. I mean, that's what it is. Out of touch with God is the answer to that question. And so we need the details. And so we're going to be dealing with these type of people. Details are important in every facet of our lives. We have to recognize that. And they are important so that we cannot live without them. I mean, let's face it. If you didn't have details, you couldn't live. You couldn't survive. And so we need those details. And this is so true in just about everything until we get to religion. Until we get to people talking about what God requires of us, all of a sudden details, oh, we just have to get rid of details. We don't need those details. They're burdensome. We don't need to do that. Well, not everybody feels this way, but many people do. I mean, some of us actually appreciate the details that God has given us. And we can expect to continue doing what God has commanded. Yeah, he told us what we needed to do to be saved. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. We appreciate the fact that he offered that to us. And so that's what we're supposed to do. Is it not on? Okay. All right. So anyway, we do appreciate those things. Now, Malachi 1 and verse 13 says, "You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring what was taken by robbery and what was lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord?" And then when we look at the King James Version, it says, "Ye say also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith Jehovah of hosts. And ye have brought that which was taken by violence, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith Jehovah?" I mean, let's face it. These people, they thought serving God was weariness. They thought serving God was tiresome. But we never have that problem these days, do we? Okay, I detect a hint of sarcasm there in those laughs. But you're right. A lot of people feel that way. They feel, oh, I have to go to church again. We go so many times. Why do we have to go again? And then they fill us with all these details. Why do we have to listen to all those details? What does it matter? Well, some people actually feel that way. And the reason that matters is because people want to do their own thing. They don't really care to do what God wants them to do. And so that's why they're doing it. But don't we expect details in our lives? Actually, we do. I mean, would we expect the pharmacist to get the details right in our prescription? Absolutely. No doubt about that. If they got it wrong, guess what? There's a lawsuit coming. If they got it wrong, we could die. And so we expect them to get it right. We want to follow the details. Would we want the engineer to get the things right in our car or in the jet we're about to board to take off in? We want to make sure every bolt is connected, everything is right in its proper place, in its proper order. You remember the Challenger came down over 20 years ago. And why did it come down? A little tiny O-ring, a little piece of rubber failed. And it brought down that whole thing just because something just didn't work right. And so we expect the details to be right. When we were growing up, we heard about plane crashes all the time. we'd go a few months, hear about a plane crash. And then they're normally, they say bad things happen in threes. And usually if there was a plane crash in one part of the country, there might be a plane crash in another or another part of this world. And it got to that point. But the engineers have been working so hard to perfect the engineering on those things, we hear less and less about it. Yeah, we hear about them taking place sometimes. And sometimes it's because the pilots just snapped and decide they're going to kill themselves with all their passengers. And we hear about that from time to time. Or they want to go and fly it into a building or something. But anyway, would we want the doctor to know the details of the upcoming operation or surgery they have planned for us? I think so. I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, maybe we would prefer a judge who knew the details of the law to oversee our case. Yeah, some people want to pay a judge off and say, well, we don't need to follow the law, so to speak. And that's where briberies come in, things like that. Of course, they were dealing with this in the Old Testament days. We read about from the prophets. They were taking bribes and things like that. This was not working?
Right. Take it out of your pocket and put it on your coat. Not that one. That one.
This one.
No, take the receiver. Take it out your pocket. The receiver.
This one.
No. Your pocket.
Oh, this.
Yeah, take it out your pocket and put it on your jacket.
Ah. Okay. See what I mean about details?
Yeah.
Details and details. All right, so we want the judge to know the details of the law so that we're at least judged fairly, if nothing else. Some people don't want to be judged fairly because they know they've done wrong. But someone once said, and this was a preacher who said it, we are so focused upon the details that we have lost the real message of Christ. And when you think about that, his point was that oftentimes, as we concentrate on the details of book, chapter, and verse type of teaching, we are prone to omit the love we are to show towards our neighbor. Now, when you think about that, that's a powerful statement, and it's one that it's a valid comment, but it's only partially true. See, the person who said this was not at all interested in following the commandments of God, the commandments of Christ. And that's what a lot of false teachers have done. We call them progressive teachers. And we're talking about preachers in the Church of Christ. You get so wrapped up in the details of book, chapter, and verse, you've lost the whole message of love. And of course, their concept of the message of love is God loves you regardless of what you do, where we read the scriptures, here's how we behave, and that's God demonstrating his love to us by telling us what we need to do to get to heaven. And so there's that difference there. And of course, this person, his teaching was evidence. He didn't want to follow book, chapter, and verse. I mean, he's already gotten to the point where he just treats the Bible as obsolete. Never even uses the Bible anymore. I mean, unless he can find something that he can make his point. I mean, depending on what he's talking about. But a lot of teachers are like that. They ignore the Bible unless they can find something in there to more or less support what they're trying to teach. But they're not teaching at all. Like I say, they talk, God is love. Okay, God is love, everybody. God is love. He loves you so much, he's not going to let you go to hell. I mean, that's what they teach. And we know that's not what the Bible teaches. The details of the Bible tells us what we need to do in order to get to heaven and to stay out of hell. But they just kind of ignore those things. I mean, when they decide, well, we're going to have communion on Tuesday night, and we're going to join all the different denominations, bring them all together, we're all going to share communion. I mean, they do things like that. They get involved in the ministerial alliances and things like that. See, his real problem is with Bible teaching. And that's what this person's problem was. It continues to be that problem. And We're talking about the Bible teaching that instructs people in doing things God's way. Okay, they like the stories. They like to hear about Samson killing the Philistines. They like to hear about baby Moses in the little basket in the water and being saved, and Moses coming and sparing the people and bringing the people out of it. They like to hear those stories, and it's okay if those stories have some details in it, but don't tell me specifically how I'm supposed to live. Those are too many details. And so this preacher and many others have rejected God's ways. And they have chosen to be accepting of all people and have left teaching God's ways to make God more appealing to the masses. That's another problem we're having to deal with. That's why many false teachers are there. Because they want to please the people. Oh, you don't want to upset anybody. I mean, don't talk about sin. Don't talk about problems people have. Just tell people God loves them and just let them go at that. That's not going to help anybody get into heaven. And they just don't realize that. See, it does not matter if you appeal to the masses if you're not teaching the truth. It does not matter. I mean, you got to preach the truth. And many times this chiding takes place because someone was faithfully strong enough to point out someone's error in teaching or practice. Yeah, sometimes that's when it usually comes out. They start talking about, oh, we did this, we had a great time. I shared the pulpit with this person from this denomination and we got along just fine. And then we just say, but wait a minute, did you teach them the gospel? Did you teach his congregation the gospel of Jesus Christ? The necessity of obedience to the gospel of Christ? Oh, you're just too involved in details. You've forgotten about all the love of God. And so, I mean, that's what we have to deal with. I've dealt with it. I imagine Avery's going to deal with it one of these days. And so it's going to be there. And there have been many calls for a turning away from book, chapter, and verse type teaching. Too many details gets our minds all messed up and we just can't focus on the basics like love and things like that. And many have called for the Thus Saith the Lord teaching to just go away. We don't need that. And what do these people do when they get up in the pulpit? They don't read from the Bible. They talk about things. They talk about philosophy. They talk about feelings and things like that. See, their claim is because they who quote the Bible are mean-spirited. Well, guess what? I've been labeled. I've been labeled many times, and I'm kind of proud of that fact. But still, that's what they do. Oh, you're just mean-spirited. Because here I am pointing out, here's what God says, book, chapter, and verse. You can read it for yourself, and what you're teaching is wrong. You're just mean-spirited. You don't have any love in you. I mean, translation is, I do what I want to do, and you showing me from the Bible that it is wrong is just horrible of you. That's what it means. See, when we preach the Bible, we know that many people will not endure sound doctrine. I mean, how many times have I quoted 2 Timothy 4? In verses 3 and 4, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. They want to have their ears tickled. And like we've said many, many, many times, we would much more rather hear a lie out of your mouth than you telling us the truth. That's what it comes down to. And they will choose what they want to do and do it regardless if they have Bible authority or not. And that's what they do. And sometimes some of them might go through the Bible trying to find some way to justify what they're doing. We talked about that in class the other night, in Friday night. We talked about they just want to justify themselves. And whether they have the Bible to justify them, or their feelings to justify them, or society to justify them, they're still going to do what they want to do. And so usually the resistance against the details are used to incite some sort of emotional feelings. And that's what they want to go on. We want to go on feeling. We want to feel right with God. We want to feel that we're okay. You know, Proverbs 16:25, there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And of course, Proverbs 16:2, every man's way is right in his own eyes. And so their hope and purpose is to silence you from teaching God's word. That's why these people come up with all these statements of details, details, details. And you're just mean-spirited. And you're just a horrible person. All they want for you is to shut up. And don't speak the truth. I mean, the children of Israel didn't want to hear from about the Holy God of Israel. They wanted the prophets not to prophesy the truth. They wanted the prophets to prophesy lies that they wanted to hear. Isaiah chapter 30 is your reference if you want to go there. And that's what they did. And so speak to us the smooth words. And that's what people want. They want the smooth words. And oftentimes, leadership is going to give the people the smooth words they want to hear. Is that going to help anybody get to heaven? No. That's not going to help anybody get to heaven. But yeah, oh, it might fill up the pews. It might think, oh, we're great. We're doing great in God's sight. We got a great work going on here. But like I told someone before, if you start teaching the truth, they're going to be running out the door as fast as they can. And so, I mean, yeah, that's what they have to deal with. What's your choice? You either teach the truth and save a few souls, or you preach lies and send a whole lot of souls to hell. I mean, you think about it, that's really not a choice, but that's how it comes out. So this idea that details are not important, but love is the most important. See, in John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, right there, what are his commandments? Commandments are details. All right, so if you love me, you'll follow my details. The details of what I expect of you. And that's what Jesus said, if you love him. And these people, oh, but Jesus loves us, but he doesn't care if we obey him or not. I mean, so you can read the scripture right there, John 14, 15, or you can just retranslate it yourself to make yourself feel good. In John 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now take that word commandments and exchange it for details. Guess what? That's what they are. Commandments are details. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that. Those are details. And so we need to keep his details. Follow the details of what he wants. And guess what? Then we'll be wrapped up in the love of God. We'll be involved in that type of love. Just like Jesus followed the details of his Father. You know, a lot of people don't look at it that way. Well, Jesus did what he did. But Jesus said, my purpose is to do the Father's will. And what was he doing? He was setting an example for us that we need to follow and the details of what he's given us. See, remember Matthew 7, 21, Jesus tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. See, doesn't it appear that these details of love are important? Yeah, if we're going to love, we have to follow the details. I mean, look at this way. Let's look at some characters from the Old Testament. If they took the details seriously, or see if they had this attitude, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I mean, would God have approved anyway? I mean, let's face it. See, Adam and Eve. See, in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. Once again, details, details, details. And it is not like they did not understand what the command was. For in Genesis 3, 2 and 3, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. She knew She knew the ramifications if she touched it and ate it. So it's not like she didn't know. A lot of people want to claim ignorance, but no. We could look at Noah. Now, Genesis 6, 14 through 16. Notice all the details. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood," detail, "and you shall make the ark with rooms," detail, "you shall cover it inside and outside with pitch," detail, and "this is how you shall make it. The length of that ark, 300 cubits, detail, its breadth, 50 cubits, detail, height, 30 cubits, detail, you shall make a window, detail, for the ark, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it." There again, a detail. "You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." Details, detail, detail. Notice if Noah paid attention to, if he paid attention to the details, details, and details, did he do it? Well, yeah, in chapter 6, verse 22, "Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did." Now, do you think Noah would have survived if he didn't follow the details? If you read the Bible enough, you know, no, most likely he would not. Now, God would have found another way to preserve mankind, but God would have known what Noah was going to do anyway, so that's why he found a man of righteousness. Noah was a man of righteousness, and he was the one who had a heart that God knew. This man will do what I ask him to do. And God went and asked a lot of people to do things. He asked Abraham to do things. He asked Isaac and Jacob. And then he told Moses to go and do certain things. He told Joshua to do things. He told the kings, David and others, to do certain things. Notice Moses in Exodus 25, 8 and 9. "And God speaking, and let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them." That sanctuary is the tabernacle. This is what they carried with them. They put it in the middle of the camp. They had the curtains around and the sheets hanging down. And they had the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place in there. Anyway, he says, God wants to dwell with them. "According to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." Now, we read in other places, he told them what the pattern was, how big to make it, what kind of material to use, how it's supposed to be constructed, how it's supposed to be carried, and things like that. And so, this idea of according to the pattern is quoted there in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. And so, we have a pattern that God gave Moses. Moses did not deviate from that pattern. When we look at the New Testament, that is the pattern of sound words that God has given us. We're supposed to learn we do not deviate from the pattern of sound words. And so, what if Moses had this idea that details were bothersome, they were wearisome, they caused people not to focus upon the greater things? Human philosophy, human thinking that is going on in our world today, especially in the religious world. What if he had that idea? I ask, would God have been pleased with him? No. When God asks someone to do it, and they do it, God is pleased with them, right? In every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. And so, God would not have been pleased if he decided, well, I view that a different way. I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to do it my own way. You know, people today, they want to do things their own way. Yeah. And it's almost like we're kind of pre-programmed to do things our own way because as we're growing up, we don't like the way our parents treat us, so I'm going to do things differently when I get up there. Then, eventually, when we get old, we realize there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing at all. So, you see where we're going here. We could bring up many other people that were given specific instructions from God and how to do it. And the modern day church is also given many specific instructions concerning the worship, the work of the church. I mean, we've already been told what is acceptable to God. God has already told us. It's not like it's a mystery. God's told us everything we need to know. 2 Peter 1:3, through His divine mercy, He has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction. The instruction in righteousness we're supposed to do. Why? So that we might be complete in Him. And so He's given us that. Of course, we should not leave out love because of all God's laws based on the foundation of love. That's what Jesus said. You know, love God with all your heart, love your fellow man as yourself, for upon these two rests the whole law. I mean, Matthew 22 and verse 40. Mm-hmm. And so we can't leave out love. We should never leave out love. But why? If we love someone, what are we going to do for them? We're going to give them what they need for the best, right? We want our children to have the best. We want our friends to have the best. And as long as we're financially able, we're going to do things like that. But what greater thing can you give anyone than salvation? There is nothing greater than that. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it really comes down to the point that if we don't love someone, we're not going to give them what they need. We're not going to care about them. I mean, we see this every day. We go to the store. We walk past 100, 200, 300 people. We don't demonstrate love to them. Maybe perhaps because we don't seize the opportunity. We get a chance. Yeah, yesterday was a nice day. Other than a little cool, but it was a nice day. Give God the credit for that. And so just open up doors of opportunity if you can. See, in 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Once again, this is the love of God, that we keep His details. He's told us what He expects of us. He's told us how to do those things. He's told us what the frame of mind we should have and our attitude should be in fulfilling these commandments. And He's told us really in several places what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't do it grudgingly. We shouldn't do it thinking, "Oh man, this is so wearisome. We're singing again. They're saying too many long prayers. We have to go through the Lord's Supper again." I mean, attitude. That's what we're talking about. When we follow God's specific commands, also known as details, we are demonstrated the greatest love of all. And how people can't connect the two, I don't know. Well, basically because they don't want to. And that's the reason. But when we keep His commands, we're demonstrating our love to God. I put my trust in God and I love God, so I'm going to make Him happy. What am I going to do? Well, He gave me some details of how to live. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what we need to do. And that's demonstrating our love towards God. And part of that love towards God is showing love to our fellow man and teaching them what they need to do in order to have this relationship with God so they can be in heaven also. When we teach God's detailed commands, we are showing the greatest love to our fellow man. And these people who don't want to follow God's word, they call it mean-spirited. They call it divisive. They call it horrible. So you'll find that those who seek to remove the specifics by advocating a greater or higher principle, they're not interested in doing good things God's ways. Doing God's things in God's way, they're not interested for that. They're looking for their own status, their own stature. Everybody, I want everybody to like me, so I'm not going to tell anybody that they're wrong. I just want to tell, oh, God loves you. That's all you need to know. Just go about your business. Continue your life. Do you take a little bit of sarcasm in my voice this morning? So their call for love is not really love at all. What they are doing is depriving people of what is necessary for them to go to heaven. Now, depriving people of what they need, what do we usually call that? We call it abuse, right? We call it basically a form of hatred. That's what abuse is. It's a form of hatred. If a parent doesn't give their child food that he needs, eventually the child's going to die. They could be arrested for it because they didn't love that child. I mean, how a woman can destroy the child in her own womb is beyond me. But yet, so many. I mean, oh, the child's just going to get in the way or something like that. I mean, that's not love at all. So their teaching will cause souls to be lost. And so we don't want that to happen. I know I don't want that to happen. So let's just consider this, that, if I preach the truth, I'm going to be called names. I'm going to be called mean-spirited, hateful, divisive, you name it. I'm going to be called those things. And I'm willing to endure that. I'm willing to put up with that. Because I do not in any way want to have anybody call across that gap says, you didn't teach me the truth. I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to teach the truth. And that's my goal. And I commend every preacher who has that attitude. They're going to preach the truth. Sadly, there's fewer and fewer of those willing to do that. They want to keep their status, their stature, their jobs, or whatever. And they'll give people what they want to hear. Say, don't allow anyone to tell you that details are not important in our service to God. I mean, details are important here in this life. In everything we do, details are important. And sometimes we search out the details, maybe looking for a flaw, see what's wrong, why it happened, so that we don't make the same mistake. That's what they did with the Challenger rocket. They found out what the flaw was. Then they corrected that. And then they found out with the next one, the one that reentry burst apart. Why did that happen? Well, let's figure it out. So they did. So they fixed that. Details are important. We got to realize that they just want to do what makes them feel good, and they are wrong for doing so. Yeah, they're sinners. They are wrong for doing so. They may stand up in front of 1,000 people and tell people God loves you, and technically, yes, God loves them. That portion is the truth. But when they fail to give them all the Word of God, when they fail to give them the details, that is the worst form of hatred. And it's the worst form of abuse when you consider that. Someone who has the ability to mold characters and mold people's lives and to direct them towards heaven, and they're not giving them what they need, I mean, that's just wrong. So rather than do what is right, they have to resort to name-calling. For those who will stand up for the truth and teach the commandments of God and warn of the consequences of failing to obey God's commands. We'll say it. How often do we talk about the fact that if we don't do what God says, we're going to end up in hell? Most of these preachers have given up the whole concept of hell already. Oh, there's no such thing as hell. There's no burning. God is so much love. He'd never do this even to the worst of people. He'd never send them to an eternal torment. That's just wrong. And guess what? Like in Jeremiah 5, I want to say it's verse 30, but Jeremiah 5, my people love it so. People like that. Details, details, details are so important in everything, and that includes our relationship to God, our relationship to the church, our relationship to each other, our relationship with everyone. So see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. That's a command put upon us. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Don't be the reason someone goes to hell. Whether you failed to mention God to them or when you just told them an outright lie. Don't be the reason for that. Failing to speak the whole truth is nothing more than a fancy lie. That's all it is. Details are important, so let's not forget that fact. The details of our salvation are important. Obeying God, being faithful to God, doing what He says. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. If you leave anything out, you're not telling them the whole truth, and they could lose their soul. So don't let that happen on your account. Don't be responsible for someone going to hell. I mean, if they choose to reject the words, that's on them. But if we don't tell them those words, God's going to hold us accountable, and that's on us. So think about these things. We're going to sing the invitation song. Those who feel they might need to make a change in their life, we certainly invite you to come while we stand and sing. God.